The scripture today is the Gospel of Mark, the 11th chapter, verses 1 through 10. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany, near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here immediately.'" They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing, untying the colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven."
As I shared, my childhood memories are Palm Sunday, very full, rich, embodied. I love that when I came in today, Lily and Elena were right on board. They knew what this day was, and they were ready to be a part of it. Our Christian faith is embodied in stories, and particularly this story, the story of this week, the events, those last stories of the last days of Jesus' life. And yet, even as a child, I always felt the tension of Palm Sunday. As you can really probably hear what Elena said, but Elena said, "And he's going to die, and then he's going to become alive again." So even in the joy of Hosanna and waving those big palms, or dancing just now, watching Lily and Elena and Sam get into it and start dancing, especially as all of you joined in, there's that tension, right? I think Holy Week year after year calls us to live into this story, to search its significance. And hopefully it grows deeper and more powerful and more transformative for us year after year. Part of the beauty of the church year. I remember Marge Hansel saying one time in Bible, said, "We keep coming back." And so it's like we do another round of reflecting, another round of saying, what does this mean? How do we understand it? We see Jesus coming to Jerusalem with all the Passover crowds on pilgrimage. I think the only modern day equivalents might be the Hajj every year to Mecca, where millions of Muslims gather, seeking, many of them, the once in their life opportunity to go to Mecca for Hajj. For the Hindu religion, I've learned in recent years about Kumbh Mela, which happens every 12 years in India, where literally millions gather at this one place on the Ganges for a week-long camp out mela, celebration, religious ceremony. Millions. In that day, every Jew who could came to Jerusalem for Passover. It wasn't, as it is now for most Jews, just a home celebration. Everyone who could came to Jerusalem, and so it was packed. And those psalms, many of the psalms are marked as psalms of ascent. Those were the psalms they sang as they came close to Jerusalem and were coming up to Jerusalem, the city on the hill that it is. Huge crowds, jammed into every possible place, camping wherever they, outdoors. Passover is a celebration of liberation, of God delivering the Hebrew people from slavery in Egypt, of God claiming them and creating this special relationship with them, of God giving them the Torah to shape their communal life together. And it certainly was then a time not just of religious and spiritual devotion, but also under Roman occupation, it was a time of nationalistic longing and hope. It was a time when the Romans got really nervous and would have sent in reinforcements to keep things under control. Throughout Mark's gospel, we have been seeing, there is this theme of what commentators like to call the messianic secret. That Mark makes it very clear that Jesus was not being super public. He stayed up in Galilee. And John's different, but in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, his ministry is mostly in Galilee. And when people would be healed, he would say, "Don't tell everyone." Of course, they told. But so we've talked some in Bible study, especially like why was he trying to kind of keep a lid on it? Several thoughts. I think he was trying to give himself time to do the work he wanted to do the teaching he especially wanted to do of his followers. And he was also trying to redefine who he was, what the Messiah was, who the Messiah was. Even that passage in Mark where Simon Peter says, "You're the Messiah, you're the Christ." And he tells him not to tell anyone. One commentator I read this year said maybe his point was they were thinking they knew what that meant. And he was saying, "No, you don't have it right. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to die." But here on Palm Sunday, we see this shift, this turning point. Leslie Schultz, better than anyone knows, Jesus took a direct, nonviolent action, right? In the lineage of Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King, the civil rights, and I say Leslie, working with people right now, this last week, I think. The whole notion that in nonviolent resistance to evil, you choose at times to take direct action that calls forth and brings into public view the problems, that makes clear your sense of what is wrong and what is right. It is no accident that in both Matthew, Mark, and Luke's gospel, immediately after coming in on Palm Sunday, Jesus goes into the temple and throws over the tables of the money changers and says, "This is not what my house is supposed to be. It's supposed to be a house of prayer." Jesus knew, I believe, that his time had come, that this was the climax of his ministry and mission, and that he had to stay true to who he was and to who he believed and knew God to be, and that that was putting him in direct opposition with the political powers, the military imperial powers, the religious authorities. And he made a choice on Palm Sunday. That day, he embraced publicly his role as Messiah, as the King, the chosen one, but not the one they were looking for. He was not the political leader. He was not the military liberator. He was not a king as David had been king. He came as the king prophesied by Zechariah, humble, riding on a little donkey. He came as Isaiah's suffering servant. He came as a healer, a wisdom teacher, showing the way to transform lives from the inside out. He did not come in force or in military might or with political strategizing. Jesus embodied fully vulnerability and strength. He knew who he was. He knew his purpose. He knew the God of radical, inclusive, intimate love and grace. He knew God loved him and every human being in the earth itself. And out of that strength, out of that sureness, he had the courage to act in total vulnerability. humble, riding on a donkey. He was the antithesis of imperial power. He was the opposite of religious orthodoxy and control and rules and hierarchy. He came as a liberator from all that enslaves and entraps us. He was a healer of all our brokenness and diseases, the one who came, who comes to set us free, the one who can empower us to also live in integrity, who we truly are, our truest and best selves. He shows us a way of self-giving love that is both vulnerability and strength. In these stories of these last days of his life, Jesus isn't talking, he's just showing. He's just embodying, he's just acting. He's putting, not acting like fake acting, but like putting into action. He's not trying to give us the way out, the way to heaven, the way to escape. He's showing us how to live life here, now. In the midst of the pain, the brokenness, the suffering, and the joy of this earthly life, he's showing us his way of living fully and freely and lovingly in the midst of it all. Jesus shows the way through, not around, not out of, through life. And it's a way of love, of vulnerability, and strength. Jesus embraced the goodness of life. He got accused of partying with the wrong people, right? He was fun. And he was deeply, deeply sure of who he was, and he knew how to, even when it led him to his dying, he was able to stay true. I don't know what this particular Holy Week has going on for you. As I say, every year we come to it with what's going on in our personal lives and what's going on in the world around us. And so I think for every year there's a new opportunity and challenge to wrestle with this story, to engage with this Jesus, to find new understandings, new and deeper ways to be faithful. I believe in Jesus that we can believe and trust that God somehow knows us, fully loves us exactly as we are. God understands our suffering, our personal struggles. God weeps for the violence and hatred and sorrow and brokenness and hunger and pain happening in our world. And God in Christ is right there at the heart of every place where there is pain. God is with the people whose lives are most shattered today. God in Christ is always at work to bring hope and healing out of suffering. God is always in Christ bringing life even out of death. So let us enter into this week. Let us follow Jesus through this week. And let our hearts be open, our minds be open to learn how to live as he lived and to die as he died, trusting in God's love. Brave enough to be strong and totally vulnerable.